Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Alex Schumacher. College. It's a time where you have to learn to start fending for yourself. It's a time where you have to learn to try to build a home away from your parents. And, well, creating a home is a lot more complicated than just having four walls and a roof. In this episode of Real College Podcast, we look at just some of what it takes to turn a house into a home. Just like fingerprints, all homes are a little different. What feels cozy and relaxing for one person might feel messy and disorganized to another. So we sent new reporter Sadie Bosk out to ask people on the streets what are some of the things they do and look for into making a house a welcoming environment.
What's the first thing you do when you come home?
Look in the fridge for a snack.
Put my keys someplace I won't lose them.
First, make food.
Change clothes. I usually get a beer and sit down on the couch.
Usually change out of my work clothes because I have to wear a suit every day.
Watch Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah.
Change clothes.
Next, watch Netflix.
Right.
Continue just binging.
Change clothes. I think it's a transition, right? Home is about a place where you feel comfortable, and if you've got work clothes on, you've got to make that transition.
Any, like, things to you suggest not doing in your home, or like bad roommate incidents, things to avoid?
Don't leave dishes in the sink for over a week. Like, a day or two is fine, but like that long is not very acceptable.
If you are a biology major and you have to do experiments, don't leave them in the refrigerator.
Yum.
My 22-year-old brother and his fiance living in my room with me, also with their cat and their dog.
It's a big family.
Don't do drugs.
Very wise. So wise.
Like 2 years ago, I had a kind of a strange roommate. He kind of just routinely allow his alarm clock to go off for hours. My other roommate had to like turn it off every morning.
Would he wake up?
No.
No.
No. He could sleep through a fire. It was really bad.
God.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Is there anything in your home that kind of makes you feel just kind of more comforted and like sanctuary-like?
The lock.
The lock. Bye, everyone.
Now, based off the answers that Sadie got, it would seem that a lot of people in the Twin Cities like to use Netflix in order to make a house a cozy environment. And while Netflix works great for some, for others, it's not going to be enough. Luckily for those people, there are philosophies and guides that help people cultivate a cozy living environment. Reporter Hannah Dove looked at one such philosophy, known as Hygge, to see how to live cozily.
When I was little, my grandparents used to bring me to IKEA under the guise of babysitting. In all honesty, I just think they wanted to wander around the warmly lit storerooms as much as I did. Now I'm in college, and I still find a small thrill in weaving in and out of these unlived-in spaces, wondering if I would ever be able to afford anything like this in the future. But what makes these miniature suites so appealing, so cozy? While Real College Podcast looks at housing, we delve into the Danish and Norwegian lifestyle of coziness known as hygge, and how the Scandinavian concept is fit not only for the brutal winter months, but also for the summer days where you can crack an egg on the sidewalk and watch it cook. But before we move any further, we must first seek out a more tangible definition of what hygge actually is. According to the official tourism website of Denmark, the warm glow of candlelight is hygge. Cozying up with a loved one for a movie? That's hygge too. And there's nothing more hygge than sitting around with friends and family, discussing the big and small things in life. Perhaps hygge explains why the Danes are some of the happiest people in the world. And perhaps less romantically, but no less positively, the Oxford Dictionary defines hygge as a quality of coziness and comfort, conviviality, that engenders a feeling of content or well-being, and a defining characteristic of Danish culture. Real College Podcast sat down with Leo Manuntug, manager and barista at St. Paul's own Huga Lowertown Cafe, Bar, and Restaurant, in order to discuss how the owners, Chad and Rebecca Northrup, came up with the idea to incorporate Huga into their business.
Chad and Rebecca Northrup very much embraced the whole Huga concept in Scandinavia, and so they wanted to incorporate and also bring in more of the third place location. So the whole idea of Huga is something that they've known for quite a while, and so with the experience of what Chad has had in the restaurant industry, he thought it would be a great idea to start a cafe, and so from there on it just kind of flourished into opening up a bar and restaurant. And so from where it's had evolved into now is it's kind of like been a growing thing for the last few months, and here we are. And I guess my relation to it is that I just started out as a barista and I continue to learn the whole idea of the whole Huga life, and so and yes, here we are.
We next inquired about how Huga Lowertown incorporates coziness and hominess into its menu.
In terms of the cafe, and I guess a little bit of the bar too, because it's all liquid drinks and also comfort food. So the whole idea of just bringing coziness into anybody that steps in here at Huga is that we come in with a strong greeting and just really warm and welcoming. People are presented with a couple of drink offers, and we would make nice lattes or even nice cocktails, and we would serve them in really nice glasses. And I think that the particular types of seating that people are offered is very much more in the idea of like that you're living in your own apartment or in your own house, I should say. And then some of the mood lighting that we have here is just, it always changes from any time of the day. So if you're here in the morning, the lights are a little bit more brighter. You're kind of presented with just more productivity, and that we are here not only to just allow you to be more productive in whatever kind of work that you're doing here. We also offer you to come in for, seconds for your coffee. In the afternoon, we do social hours, so we try to bring in more conversation into people that come in into the bar especially. And then when we get closer to the evening time, it becomes full service dinner. So we're more engaged in just full service dining, so people can be seated. We give them any kind of options that they want for food. But again, just kind of going back into the cafe and the bar, types of things that we do sell here, very much just comforting. And also, I know that this past winter we've had a lot of different options for hot cocos. A lot of our different baristas would be very kind of almost original, or at least have their own ideas of what types of hot cocoa concoctions that we could make. And that way, also not only gives it a lot of variety, but it also gives a sense of, I guess, uniqueness into this. So.
Now, Huga is meant to be warm and cozy, but normally that's saved for the winter months. And when it's hitting triple digits outside, I don't know many people who would like a piping hot cup of tea. We asked Leo how the menu changes from summer to winter and winter to summer in order to accommodate for their customers.
I think coming back to again to the cafe, I know that our baristas and will have these really nice like iced latte drinks that really kind of keep the coolness into keeping people, I guess, the opposite of feeling really hot out here. And we did actually just recently launch a gelato ice cream in the mix in our cafe. So it's kind of really nice to keep the options really more wide open. When you first come in here too, in the middle of our, not only the stage, but into the building, you also presented with a projector. And so a lot of the things that we do present, in at least throughout the summer, we try to put live feeds of any places in Scandinavia or Norway. Constant loop of a train ride in Norway. Currently right now it's obviously somewhere more tropical, but we'd like to give a little bit of variety, and I think that for every barista or anybody that's a head shift that comes in here has like their own taste and music and also different kinds of ambiance that they give off, and it just seems to resonate pretty well with either to our regulars, anyone else that comes in here. So we do a little bit of catering to like what the clientele that comes in. If we have reservations for, let's say, a large corporation group or a large department from downtown, we try to make it a little bit more professional, at least things that are more kind of more in the social adult arena. And then if we have like 30 kids here, then we try to make it a little bit more fun and also colorful as well. So.
Because hominess and coziness take so many different forms, we asked Leo how he would describe Hygge to someone who's never heard about it ever in their lives.
The best way I've always, at least lately, have been describing Hygge to anybody who really wants to, I guess, get to know and understand what the whole idea is. A lot of people see it as a lifestyle, but I kind of also see it as that if you can compare it to, we as America see that freedom is inherently to us. The way I see Hygge to Scandinavians is that it's about bringing comfort and warmth into somebody else's livelihood, also while being kind of just being nestled into like our particular type of shelter, or even being presented with really nice drinks, really, really comfortable food, or at least the things that are just filling but also very shareable, you know what I mean?
Finally, we asked Leo how he incorporates Hygge into his summer plans.
I've lived in the concrete jungle my whole life, or at least in the cities a lot. And so I actually like to stay well in my room, at least, or at least with air conditioning or with a fan hitting my face. Primarily how I stay cool. Otherwise, I'd just take a cold shower, truthfully.
Well, there you have it. All the way from Scandinavia to St. Paul, Hygge teaches us to find coziness and hominess in the little things, to hang out with friends and family, and enjoy all the little moments that life throws our way. This is Real College Podcast, and I'm Hannah Dove. Thank you for listening.
Finally, more than just the space itself, what can make a house into a home is the people who fill that space. Whether it's a significant other, family, friends, or roommates, who we live with makes a big impact on our life. Nathan Fervoy has more.
Before I left it, home was just a word to me. I thought of it as just a place to lie down and keep my things, any 10x12 space with a bed and dresser being sufficient. Before I left it, I could not feel how my home was fitted to me and how I had become fitted to my home. And so, I was willing to choose a new home based on a total roll of the dice, signing onto a lease of a house I had never stepped foot in, with roommates I had barely ever met.
Oh, look where we are. We're in front of her house.
Should I describe it or something?
Yeah, it's kind of yellow and gross.
Yeah, I don't really like the color.
What is the color even? It's like
puke green, puke yellow, one of those things.
Since leaving, I've started to feel the distinct empty space left in my home's absence, the total disconnect between this new house and my old one.
How can you not, Nathan?
The layout of the new house is as follows.
The double doors. Let's go through the ground floor first.
Oh, yeah. What about this door?
Through the front door, there's the first floor living room.
Here's the living room.
It is a very 70s vibe because of all the wood paneling, mm-hmm. The non-stop wood paneling and the built-in
a kitchen,
bookshelf.
And three bedrooms, including my own.
And the door handle's broken.
All dark.
It's super dark. The windows don't open.
Up the stairs, there's another second floor kitchen and three more bedrooms attached to a long hallway. A giant seventh bedroom is at the top in the attic space,
the secret rooms,
and I can't forget about the basement
rooms, you know,
with its huge furnace.
Dungeons,
scary, but great for a party.
And then we got Hercules here, a giant furnace, octopus furnace.
Octopus
furnace. I like how the ceiling is like.
It is neither pretty nor coherent. Most of the walls are floor-to-ceiling dark wood paneling. The lighting is dim at best, and random sections of different materials show evidence of many quick fixes over the years. I didn't think much of the ugly appearance moving in. I'd learned my whole life not to judge character based solely on appearance, but my parents seemed somewhat concerned about the ugly dark walls and musty basement. After a few months, when the poor aesthetics of the house seemingly started to correspond to our moods and to its functionality, like my parents' warning concerns stood out in my mind.
Especially in the winter time when it was dark and there's like one tiny window. And like our lighting is really yellow, like the yellow kind of gross, nasty lighting.
With nothing but the utter blackness of winter outside my window, the wooden box around me encapsulated my whole world. Under such circumstances, dark walls turned to a dark state of mind. Or was it the dark mind state making the walls depressing? I'd seen it printed in fancy interior design magazines, but I'd always thought that the color theory associating mood with color was mostly BS, just the confused thoughts of a disconnected adult. But after living it, it seemed more plausible that mood and color are connected. But not immediately, only in a way that has to be experienced to be understood. Many other guidelines for housing are like this. Make sure the windows close properly and don't hook up with your roommates. Also, take out the trash when you see it's full.
It's pretty nice though, honestly.
That was a different couch. That was the one from the living room.
Couch. There's too many
couches. I know, but not a couch at the same time.
As the walls taught me, the more time spent around something, the more of an impact it makes. And sitting in the house day after day, my mind racked up a lot of time probing around the many objects and through the different spaces, imprinting them within me. The time spent around my housemates worked in about the same way. Our initial impressions of one another warped and shaped as we moved around each other in close quarters.
Radio K, Real College Podcast. We're here with my roommate, Harriet. What were your first impressions of me when we first met?
You got in my car so we could go get coffee and talk about you living with us.
When you found out you were going to be living with me, what were your concerns and what, like, yeah, what were your concerns?
I had none because I knew if I was going to play loud music, it would be okay.
Each of us seven were inserted into our own corners of the house and set free to interact within its physical constraints.
I'm Grace.
I'm Annika. For us to have the living room space down here, like, they don't have anything equivalent to that upstairs, like, at all.
Yeah, exactly.
They
don't have
For us on the first floor, the living room became our mixing like, pot.
There were, like, two chairs.
Right.
And so, like, there's no common space for you to be in because, like, as soon as you, like, hang out as a group and you're upstairs, you're in somebody's personal space, you know? Like, on somebody else's territory instead of in, like, a common area. Because then we can be more tight-knit, like, down here than, like, anybody in the upstairs culture because...
Because they don't hang out.
Yeah, like, certain people, like, I just, because of the walls dividing and, like, just they weren't as present, I wasn't thinking about them as much, so, like, I'm less, like, connected to them.
Yeah, there's a term for that in psychology, it's called the proximity effect, and it just means that, like, the people that you're around, you end up, like, loving more or have more positive connotations more towards because, yeah. Like, they are literally, like, you are of them. If you let me just talk to someone for like long enough, I'll find a way to like have a mutual understanding and like a connection. Yeah. And I think like the whole, yeah, relating to time too, is like the dynamics have changed a lot in this house, like over different months, all of our relationships, the dynamics have changed. And like, I think if we were given less time, or if like we didn't see each other as much, we wouldn't have had enough time for all of this stuff to grow into what they are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I knew like coming into this year that like I wanted the upstairs because like I could choose whether or not I needed to be in there. Like I wouldn't have to like be thrown into like living room situations all mm-hmm. the time. I had the option to go down there if I ever wanted. I could go through that door, but like it was just like I'm gonna go up to my room because like I want to settle down.
Yeah.
And like kind of get myself to like a natural state, but then like. Once I got to that natural state, like, I wasn't trying to, like, go and get out of there and, like, go downstairs. Like, that's what it's been the entire year, like.
In my childhood home, I had a room upstairs separate from the rest of the house, which I would come back to each day to sit and process on my own. I grew up into this old house, and in doing so, my early self was shaped and set in that space. It was a grounding constant which I took for granted. Transplanted into this new house, my early shape no longer fits with its surroundings. Instead of lonesome quiet thought, the design of the first floor allows for very little time alone, I come home now to talk and process aloud.
Just too tangential. But basically, like, the ancient type of... The customs of people...
My quiet childhood form still lingers beneath my newer extroverted layer. I often feel like a fish out of water, reenacting behaviors that are not of this place, fanning my fins helplessly through the air when they work so well underwater. Of course, things were no different for my roommates, each coming from their own individual contexts.
Like, we've been living in a space our whole lives, right? And, like, this is kind of a new thing to navigate, right? But, like, I have, like, a... Like, living in my house, there have always been, like, lots of people. Like, standard was, like, 6 to 8 people, like, in my... Like, living in my house at any given time. So it was, like... So, like, it was made very clear to me for, like, a long time, like, the kinds of things that you have to, like, do in order to, like, be considerate of other people and, like...
I didn't care about a lot of things personally, so, like, because I have no expectations because my living situation was so, like, completely different than anything like this.
Cut off from our base and set adrift. We are all confused strangers struggling against one another to create a home to suit our individual needs. We transgress boundaries with one blind step and overcompensate with the next, seeking a perfect balance that likely can never be achieved. But given the proper time and the constant back and forth, it's working for now.
Just that, like, the time thing was really important because a lot of us are really different. Like, there's, like, outside of this house, I don't know, like, when you and I would have, like, become friends.
Yeah, right.
But make it very hard to position furniture in.
But yeah, exactly, I think it just comes from, and that's, like, what the whole issue about, like, rules are, right? It's because your rules are just what you are used to,
yeah,
and what,
like,
you're used to is from
like
a completely different place from your other roommates. So then, that's what makes living together so...
It's really spicy. Not the room.
Next year, though.
We had a huge dining room.
I'm looking forward to some huge oak table. The one of my dreams.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah, that... Yeah, I'm kidding.
It'll be like Hogwarts.
And back out. Yeah, we're gonna have some big feast.
Yeah.
And that's the house. Bada bim ba.
Bada boo.
College Podcast this week. Thanks to Sadie, Hannah, and Nathan, whose stories you all heard. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K. It's produced by Liv Riggins, Ben Hallam, and Nathan Fervoy. Alex Schumacher, me, is your host and managing editor. All episodes of Real College Podcast can be found at radiok.org or on Apple Podcasts. That's all for Real College Podcast this week. See you around.